In the seminary, one of the few memorable things I learned after 7 years was a statement. I think it was attributed to Aquinas. I'm going to give you two in Latin. First of all, to show off. And secondly, so all you Latinists, like Gil Robey, can work this out. Quid recipitur, per modum recipientis recipitur. How do you like that? You could almost set it to music. So whatever one receives is received through the capacity or the manner of the recipient. I've been haunted by this all week because I thought, what would Donald Trump make of these readings? You're the light of the world. Well, he knew that already. You're the salt of the earth. He also knew that already. But what does light and salt consist of in his reading? Big hairy gold signs on buildings all over the world and a presidency which is in question, as all the demonstrations today in the last few days, the last couple weeks have indicated, to be the light of the world means to be glamorous, as Donald Trump is glamorous, and to the salt of the earth. He savors everything because he's a successful businessman. And what else do you need? Except, clearly, that's not what was being intended here. So through what lens do we make sense of this passage? Well, a couple of things. We can take Paul's letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were Greek-speaking, of course, and the Greeks all loved wisdom. Wisdom. Because then you could show off among all the dullards who don't understand anything. And so Paul stands athwart that and said, I didn't come to you with words of wisdom. I came like a bozo that I am. But much more explicitly, you have this magnificent passage from Isaiah that, and of course there's a direct line from that to the figure of Jesus, is what constitutes being the light of the world is. The world is by and large a dark place, I think. I don't live in Aleppo, but I see newscasts. I don't live in Mosul or Afghanistan, or the Ukraine, or any other 20 wars going on in the world. I live in beautiful South London, Ontario, you know, in these moderately comfortable digs. So, where does all this go? No. Anybody who stands athwart what's going on in so many places in the world, anyone who pays attention to the poor, as I'm afraid Donald Trump never will, anyone who looks for the oppressed rather than put on bans for the immigration to the United States of those dirty Muslims. No, you welcome the stranger. You feed the hungry. You take them into your homes. And that, in contrast, and the contrast always has to be conscious. So that's why I use Trump as a kind of foil, because he's, in the first 2 weeks, he's done anything but shown himself as a benign figure in the world. Ask the president of Australia, or the president of Mexico, we're going to send the troops down there. That's called invading a foreign country. You know? This kind of self-aggrandizing arrogance, which so characterizes his career thus far, and I'm afraid it's not going to change. He hasn't changed since the primaries. We need, in this sense, as a contrast to the people who don't behave this way. Bernie Sanders, I'm not saying Bernie Sanders is a saint, but my God, he constantly was aware of the plight of the poor. The way we are not, as I said, I live in these more than comfortable digs here, beautiful in spirit residence. I don't see a poor person in sight here. Truly, I don't. The rent is very high, as probably some of you know, $4,200 a month. So you're not going to find many poor people where I live, folks. And out of sight literally does mean out of mind. Which is really too bad. I've been trying, as some of you know, I've been trying to sell my house for a couple of weeks, and I was there when somebody was taking a walk through. This is gorgeous South Sudanese man whose name is Ishmael. I said, "Oh, Ishmael, buy this house. You'll be the only black face in this neighborhood. You certainly will be the only Muslim in this neighborhood. And I'm going to call the neighbors that I know and trust to make sure they make you welcome." Unfortunately, he didn't buy the house. But my realtor says he's going to do everything he can to get him situated someplace in town. Well, see, that's why I keep going back to Trump. I don't have any kind of vindictive feeling toward Donald Trump. He is what he is. Unhappily. But he acts as a great foil against which we can measure the gospel of Jesus. Trump has said often that the Bible is his favorite book. He especially likes 2 Corinthians. Which makes me wonder if he's ever read 1st or 2nd, or there is no 3rd Corinthians that I know of. It's sort of baffling, and in a kind of sick sense, we need him as a foil to play off against, to stand athwart, to go and do unlikewise as he's doing, closing borders, you know, threatening neighbors, threatening good friends. It's totally counter to what Jesus was about. Again, my favorite definition of the church is from that great Irish writer whose name just went out of my head. He was declaimed an atheist. Who am I talking about?
Joyce.
Pardon?
Joyce.
James Joyce. Who was considered a renegade and all kinds of bad things. But he described the church in these memorable terms. The church is, here comes everybody. Unhappily, I don't think we have much experience of everybody coming. But that's what we're called to. That's this great vision of Isaiah. This is a great warning of Jesus. If you live this way, people are going to notice you. They may kill you too, by the way. But there's ample precedent for that as well. If you live like Jesus, you're an endangered species. But that's all right. That's why Jesus simply committed himself to the hands of God, and that's all he needed, and that's all we needed. So we don't need property, degrees, reputations, residences, wardrobes. We just need the figure of this man who was the ultimate light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we beg ardently, I hope, to follow in his footsteps.